Mr. Gay mentions the important point in Buddhism is that you have to feel deeply and directly who you are, such as tasting, realizing manas, psychologically speaking. At that time, that manas, at the realization of manas, guides you to touch, or to say, karmic life coming from past life. That is alaya vijñāna. Then, I think it is not good enough to feel, to taste who you are deeply or directly. It's not good enough for us. By meditation, but you have to reach alaya vijñāna, so-called karmic consciousness, karmic life. But at that time, there is a still problem that we are stuck in the concept of karmic life. But alaya vijñāna is characterized by the something going in perpetual series from the past to present to future. So nothing pinned down, nothing to grasp, nothing to let you be stuck there. So all is going. So finally, if you really feel what your karmic life is, finally there is no concept of your own karmic life. Finally, what you can see is just flow of energy. That's it. That is called Tathagatagarbha. There is nothing to put on the name. Put the name on it. But it is kind of just a flow, perpetual flow of energy, but it's very difficult to put the name on it, but it's really something fact and real. Because it supports your life and also all sentient beings. That is called Tathagatagarbha. At that time, you really appreciate it. And then from this, I think religious ascertainment and relaxation or relief oozes from the bottom of your heart. That is called faith, naturally. So, main purpose of Buddhist practice is to taste the ego consciousness, deeply who you are through the meditation, but it's not good enough. The more practice, farther practice is to taste and alaya vijñāna, karmic life, not only conceptually, but directly you should participate in alaya vijñāna. What direct participation in alaya vijñāna is, that is just movement, okay? Flow movement. Perpetual flow of energy to live, to be present, not only for you, with all sentient beings, okay? That is the final purpose of Buddhism. Okay? Then, yesterday, yeah, I mentioned most people believe if you don't attain enlightenment, you are not Buddhist. You are really lower classes of human beings. But I don't think it is true. Okay? Even though you are a deluded person or you are enlightened person, all sentient beings are aware. Okay? You should remember this one. But yesterday I mentioned individually, if you see your life, well, under all circumstances, you want to live. That desire comes from where? Your own desire? No, not your own desire. I gave you my own story. Okay? When the bomb, you know, explored, I immediately run and jump into the hole and chanting the name of Amitabha. What is, that is my desire? No way. Not my desire. No choice. No choice. So under all circumstances, anyway, everyone has great energy, capacity to live, to be. Completely beyond like or dislike. Okay? So, you should live there. Anyway, from the beginning, you should appreciate this energy. You should appreciate this life force gifted to you from the beginning, from the beginningless past. Anyway, you have already great capacity. So, that is temporary, we call Buddha nature. What we did 2,500 years ago, Buddha Shakyamuni mentioned, all are Buddha. That is temporary, we call Buddha. Buddha is a person who realized that perpetual flow of energy, flow of existence, constantly beginning from the beginningless past to the endless future. You should participate directly in it. So what is that? Just be there. Okay? And then manifest it. So, strictly speaking, I think everyone is. Anyway, in Buddha's world. Okay? Great world. So I think even though you are not enlightened person, but it is not the discrimination between Buddha and ordinary people. You are not enlightened person, but originally you are enlightened person because you already survive. You are living from day to day. By whom? By your effort? Yes, it is, but something more than that. Grasses, by the help of the grasses, rains, and sunshines, and humidities, airs, and by all sentient beings, you can survive. This is a true reality. So you should live in the vast world, expansive realm of the world, surrounded by all sentient beings. But usually we always see the world now in a narrow way. This is my world, that is your world, separately. But first of all, we should live in that expansive, enormously expansive realm of the existence. Okay? That is called Buddha nature. We are Buddha. So, let's see the Genjo Koan. Do you have a Genjo Koan? And last sentence. Last sentence. There is a conclusion there. Okay? last month. Okay. Last sentence, it says, because the nature of wind is eternal, the wind of Buddhism causes the manifestation of the earth's being gold, and by participation develops the long river into butter. Okay? The last sentence. 35, okay? So the wind of Buddhism, I think wind of Buddhism is, in this case, Dogen Zenji uses wind because he quoted the story of the Hotetsu, Zen Master Hotetsu, of Mount Myoku, using a fan itself. That's why he is talking about the wind created by fan, okay? That's why he uses a wind. Buddhism means a Buddhist family, okay? So in this case, wind means lifestyle, refined lifestyle of the Buddhist family. If you are all sentient beings are nothing but Buddhist families, okay? So that their life has really a refined lifestyle of their own. What is it? That is to manifest the earth. The earth means alaya vijnana, karmic life, okay? Being gold, anyway, turn earth, turn alaya vijnana into gold means Tathagata Garba. Okay? And then next, and by participation, you have to participate in this practice directly. And then at that time, you can develop long river means human life. Okay? Long river, human life, human world. They handed down from century after century, long, long river, okay? Into the butter, sweet milk, wonderful milk, means Buddha's world, peaceful, harmonious world, okay? So, what is the responsibility, what is the duty for us, okay? If you want to be present in this world as a human being, that is human being who has great refined lifestyle of Buddha's family. Okay, what is the duty? Our duty is to turn the earth, our vijnana, alaya world, karmic life, into gold, means Tathagata Garba, Buddhist world. How? You should participate in it directly. Regardless of whether you judge your life, I am enlightened or unenlightened, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is you should participate in this practice directly, day by day. And then, at that time, your life ripens very naturally. So, you can develop long river, your whole life, including past, present, future, into the butter, sweet butter, means into the peaceful, harmonious world. That is your total personality coming up. How do you develop your whole personality? It's not your business. Your business is just to participate in this practice, that's it. And then whole personality coming up just like a water under the ground coming up air. Your pipe touches the water vine, naturally water coming up. Okay.
That or when you see the water coming up from the ground, it is called what whole personality. By what people are really impressed and people really want to have to see such a person. Okay? It is necessary for us. And we have such a capability. Okay? So, finally, our purpose is just like this. Okay? That's why it is a conclusion of Genjo Koan. Is that okay? So, what is the practice for us? Okay. Well, we always say we want to attain enlightenment, we want to be enlightened person itself. The obvious thing, we are always juggling, you know, in the realm of human our vision. The samsara, the always juggling, you are wrong, I am right, you know. I practice for 10 years, I am a good person, you know. You are always lazy, you are not Buddhist, you know. Always, I love him, so he is my teacher. It's ridiculous. And they always, and then the bitter things, and the bitter things, a person will sometimes tell you the bitter things, oh, I don't like him. He's not my teacher. Something like that. They're always juggling like this. How do you understand? How do you share your life with all sentient beings in peace in them? No matter how long you talk about compassion, wisdom, kindness, and friendliness with shaking hands, actually, practically, you never build up peaceful world from day to day. No way. Always you're fighting, suffering. That's why don't invent medicine like this. What is our practice? Anyway, whoever you are, wherever it is, you should. Anyway, what you have to do is to try to turn the other vision into Tathagata Gautama, our earth, human world, turn the human world into the gold, Buddhist world. You should participate. You can do it. How? That is explanation of Genjo Koan. Okay? So, let's go back to the first paragraph. Genjo Koan, beginning. I think Genjo Koan, let's divide Genjo Koan into 11 sections, okay? According to this translation, I think he divided all this Genjo Koan into already the 11th section, one paragraph and second paragraph, etc. Okay? So, first section is until only grow when we dislike them. This is the first paragraph. First section, second section is second paragraph. Third is third paragraph. Okay? Page 32. Alright? And fourth section is the second paragraph from the bottom, starting the Buddha way. Fifth section is the last paragraph when people first seek the teaching. 33 page, section 6, second paragraph, and seventh, third paragraph, and eighth, last one, and 34 page. The second paragraph. Number six. Sixth section, kindred becomes ashes. Seventh, third paragraph, people's attaining enlightenment itself. And the eighth paragraph, eighth section, last paragraph, before one has studied the teaching. Page 34, section 9, second paragraph, as a fish travels through water, etc. Tenth is under middle of a second paragraph. Can you see, under these circumstances, if there were birds or fish, all right? That is the tenth section. And page 35, 11th section is the second paragraph until the end. Zen Master Hotetsu. All right? first paragraph, would you read first paragraph?
When all things are Buddha's teaching, then there is delusion and enlightenment. There is cultivation of practice, there is birth, there is death, there are Buddhas, there are sentient beings. When myriad things are all not self, there is no delusion, no enlightenment, no Buddhas, no sentient beings, no birth, no death. Because the Buddha way originally sprang forth from abundance and paucity, there is birth and death, delusion and enlightenment, sentient beings and Buddhas. Moreover, though this is so, flowers fall when we cling to them, and weeds only grow when we dislike them.
Okay. First paragraph, first section is divided into the 1, 2, 3, 4 sentences. Four sentences. First one is when all things are Buddha teaching, then there is a delusion and enlightenment, there is a cultivation of practice, there is a birth, there is a death, there are Buddhas, there are sentient beings. This is one sentence, okay? Second, when myriad things are all not self, there is no delusion, no enlightenment, no Buddhas, no sentient beings, no birth, no death. Okay? Because the Buddha way originally sprang forth from abundance and paucity, there is birth and death, delusion and enlightenment, sentient beings and Buddhas. And then last, moreover, although this is so, flowers fall when we cling to them, and weeds only grow when we dislike them. Okay. He says Buddha teachings. I think he says Buddha Dharma. Buddha Dharma. So Buddha Dharma means the whole universe. Whole universe means not the huge avocado seed, okay? It's not huge, like a huge avocado seed. In other words, it's not the universe, is not the huge lump of the earth body, okay? Do you understand? That is, Buddha Dharma means, I told you already, a flow, perpetual flow of energies. Always going and acting and quiet. But it's quiet, but it's dynamic. So always something going, okay? That is huge. There is no boundless. And there is no boundaries. Always huge, huge, okay? That's why I sometimes use vast expanse of existence. Vast. It's really vastness. So that is a Buddha teaching, he says. But here he said, I think originally Buddha Dharma. So all you have to see, first of all, you have to see the human world, human beings, in terms of Buddha's eye, anyway. So first section, talking about the outlook on the world, how you should see the world, how you should see, you understand the human world, okay? So first of all, you have to see the world in terms of Buddha's eye, okay? Yesterday I mentioned, if you see the human world in terms of ordinary people's eyes, so-called arya-vijñāna, world becomes always arya-vijñānas. Arya never Buddha's world. So if you see the world in terms of, anyway, a Buddha's eye, the whole world becomes Buddha's world. Arya-vijñāna means karmic life, okay? Karmic life, if you see karmic life through meditation, you tasted karmic life. But still, that karmic life you have tasted through the meditation is still conceptualized. If you go beyond conceptualization of karmic life, it is nothing but perpetual flow of energies. That's it. Because karmic life has been going from the past, present, futures, and from every direction. So we don't know what it is. But it's actually working anyway. So that's why it's very difficult to be free from understanding of karmic life. Because every day you can see, you can taste karmic life. So it's very easy for us to be stuck in a karmic life. But originally, karmic life is what? It's going dynamically from the past to the present to the future. So, that time, this is, if you go beyond, free from conceptualization of karmic life, at that time, you really participate directly in arya-vijñāna, which means Tathagatagarbha. We call it Tathagatagarbha. Tathagatagarbha is only when you participate in it, in deep understanding, deep taste, profound taste of anywhere arya-vijñāna, then arya-vijñāna turn into anywhere Buddha's world. Tathagatagarbha. Yesterday I mentioned a whole space, koku, fall down to the earth and be crushed. Then that is a time when oak tree become Buddha. Okay? We are always separated. When whole skies, whole world are crushed, it must be Buddha. Okay? When you become Buddha, whole world crushed, nothing to compare. What do you mean? Just energy, working. Then you become Buddha. When you become Buddha, there is a time when all whole earth are crushed. Okay? That is the direct participation in arya-vijñāna. Instead of understanding the human world, human life in the world of conceptualization, okay? That is very tricky. Very tricky. It's very difficult to participate in that, the arya-vijñāna directory, and turn it into Tathagatagarbha. It's very difficult. Because our head is very strong, stubborn. Oh, it's stubborn. So, anyway, that's why immediately Dogen Zenji mentions all things are not the, all things you have thought, all are Buddhas. Anyway, you should deal with this. And that time, see the world, see yourself. You live alone? No. You are there. with all sentient beings. That's why delusion and enlightenment, cultivation of practice, and birth and death, and Buddhas and all sentient beings exist simultaneously. This is true reality. What is this? This is your world created by you? No. This is the world created by the past of your life? No. It is something more than that. It's really expansive, the existence of the world. Okay? That's why he says. So, and then next, when the media dharmas are not all not self, there is no delusion, no enlightenment, no Buddhas, no sentient beings, no birth, no death. Then, at that time, you are you, but you are not you. Okay? You are all sentient beings. You are supported by all sentient beings. So you shouldn't always attach to yourself, I am great. I don't think this is really egoistic, you know. If you become really great, in other words, if you really become mature, you don't notice maturity. Okay? Real maturity is some energy which makes you go smoothly like a stream of water. The people just participate in that stream of water just like a boat. But if you attach to maturity, its maturity becomes very stiff, you know. It's not the stream of water. So always bumping, lots of maturity there. Your maturity, my maturity, always bumping and creating a creaking sound. Do you understand? That is the human world that we always say. So that's why when media dharmas are all not self, when you see the world see the world in the universal perspective, all don't have its own ego sense. No, it's exactly flow of energy, nothing but the flow of energy, penetrating, exchanging their own position with somebody else. Okay? I change my position with somebody's position. In other words, I can talk with a bird, I can talk with a rock, I can talk with an Indian elephant. Okay? The African, the elephant can shake a hand with the Indian elephant, Indian monkey. Okay? Do you understand that one? Intellectually, you don't understand this, but this is a Buddhist world. Buddhist world is shaking hands. If you pick up this one, whole world pick up. You don't believe it, but this is really true. This is outlook on human world in terms of Buddha's eye. Because you live with all sentient beings. Okay? Without all sentient beings, how can you survive? No possibilities. Okay? So, in the next, if so, what is the true reality? He said, because the Buddha way originally sprung forth from abundance and paucity. There is birth and death, duty and enlightenment, sentient beings and the Buddhas. What are the all sentient beings you can see from with your naked eye? They are not all sentient beings seen with your naked eye. Something more than abundance and paucity, being or not being, completely beyond this one. That is what? Buddha, I can see the trees, I can see the birds, but the birds doesn't have their own nature, their own the ego. And the tree doesn't have its own egos, and then That is a true picture of the trees and birds, saying going beyond, being and not being, like or dislike, paucity and abundance. That is a true reality of everything. Okay? So, complete different world coming up. Okay? And then, next, last sentence says, moreover, though this is so, flowers fall when we cling to them, and weeds only grow when we dislike them. Then yesterday, Chokin Freud Winkoff asked me, when you feel pinched about talking about sadness, okay? Religiously speaking, if you see your karmic life, there is some deep sadness there. For instance, if I look at me myself, there is a deep sadness there. Because I can't handle it. I can't control anyway. But it's control. It can be controlled. But it's not a usual way. You cannot control it in the usual way. But it can be controlled, but not in the usual way, that's why it's very difficult. So in a sense, deep sadness there. Deep sadness means complete beyond speculation, and when you see something, you feel sad. You feel pensive. So when the flower falls, you feel, pensive. And say, please stay on the branch, you know. The weeds grows, you hate it. Now, I really experienced this hatred in the every day cleaning my temple yard, big temple yard, and picking by myself, picking up. I didn't have big machines or chemicals and to kill the weeds. So I had to pick up a weed every day in the rainy season, you know. It's a really a question of, I always ask you, what are you doing here? that is your lifestyle, spending your picking up grasses like this. This is the purpose of monk's life. So I thought, oh, big mistake. Why did I become a monk? But no choice, so always I did it, you know. So it's really hatred coming up. But beyond, grasses and flowers blooms, well blooms, and weeds grows beyond your hatred or love. Before or in advance, it's blooming. Okay, do you understand? Yeah. So your blooming of life is already in the same way as the blooming of a flower. So your life is what? Just a blooming flower. Your life is what? Growth of the weeds. Just same thing. But when you see the weeds, you separate it. And then you hate it. But basically, weeds grows in the same way as your presence. Before you poke your head into it, it already grows. The flowers blooms. But on the other hand, there is, you cannot ignore that feeling. Okay? Feeling. So Dogen then says, let's come back to everyday life. You, as a human being, what do you feel this one? Okay. What do you feel, flowers, weeds? Do you feel love? Do you feel the love, the weeds? Are you sure? You love the weeds? Are you sure? We cut the grasses all of it, and then some people say, don't cut the grasses, you know. Are you sure you love the weeds? Are you sure you love the insect and the mosquitoes? Are you sure? But you hate? Are you sure? You don't hate. You don't love. I don't know. But it is a fact. You feel hate. You feel hatred, you feel love. So this is a fact. Very straightforwardly, look at your human life, okay? But your feeling, hatred, love, is not usual sense of love. Hatred, you have thought for a long time. Let's see it a different way, okay? That's why Dogen Zen says last sentence, okay? Dogen Zen says, bring up first the Buddha's word, your way of seeing how to see the human world. You should see the world in terms of Buddha's eye. If so, you should hate the samsaric world. No, no. Come back. Please come back to the human life, which exists day by day, with feeling, emotions, hatred, anger, etc. That's why yesterday I mentioned, I think we should, that instead of handling a feeling of sadness, you know, always, you know, we should come back, go back to the little bit, the important point, how to live, how to see the world. In other words, your basic attitude toward human life. Okay? So look at the different way you should see the world in the from the Buddha's eye. That is our practice. Okay? Because sadness, feelings, always appears just like a bubbles coming up, always. You love so much feelings, but next moment it disappears, and love turns into hatred. You know? So all this, you know, it's very uneasy. So, but it's you cannot ignore that one. That's why Buddha Dogen Zen bring up this one. Don't ignore this one. But that feeling, sadness, hatred are not something you should hate or you should love. You should take care of hatred, love, as a Buddhist word. As a decoration of the Buddha's land, okay? So if you do it, how do you decorate human world with a hatred, with a sadness? That is our practice. You know, actually deal with, calm your mind, calm your six senses, anyway, and then deal with your life, sadness, hatred, etc. Means deal with grass as they truly is. Okay. Then next, I think the contents of next paragraph is the contents of all sentient beings. What is the contents of all sentient beings? Okay. So acting on and witness myriad things with the burden of oneself is delusion. Acting on and witnessing oneself in the advent of myriad things is enlightenment. Okay? So here says acting on witnesses myriad things means cultivating practice and verifying myriad things by conveying oneself to them is delusion. In other words, first we try to move toward the nature and create a poem. By creating a poem, you can verify the existence of the nature, how wonderful it is. Okay? That's what me. But it is a delusion. He says it is a delusion. Yes, it is a delusion. Because you see the world in terms of your eyes, your feelings, delusion. But it is real delusion? No way. No. That is a little bit narrow understanding. That delusion is going in the Buddhist land. Okay? Supported by all sentient beings. So, because there is no other way. Shiva, if it is a delusion, and which you should hate, at that time, the all-sentient nature coming to you and to help you, In the 1960s and the 70s, all this hippie says, I don't know where I am going now. The universe takes care of me. Something like that. Can't you say so? Okay. If you do it, your life becomes a mess. So first of all, you have to move toward the nature, toward the world, and take care of it. And then, at that time, you can verify the presence of the world with you. That's why we have to do it. But it is a delusion. But we say it is a right enlightenment. I don't think it is prejudice, egos. So that's why if you see the way it is, what is the, you know, energetic businessmen and politicians and whoever they are, you really respect them because he is always acting positively, creating something. He's a wonderful person, but I don't think it's wonderful. It is a delusion. But that is a delusion. That point is, there is no other way except deluded way in order to reach the whole world. So, important point is, don't be stuck in the delusion. You please use properly delusion. How? Simply deal with diligence. As simple as you can. There is no reason you should be stuck, you should be proud of yourself. No matter how long, no matter what, you are successful in the business or politics, etc. Even though I became a saint, there is no reason I should be proud of myself. No way. Because it is diligence. That is my karmic life. Just like an owl can see the everything at night. Something like that. By practice, I became a saint. It is a wonderful? No, it's not wonderful. It is just like an owl. Because I created it. But on the other hand, please deal with it. If so, it is a wrong. No, it's not wrong. Behind this delusion, huge, expansive world is there by which your delusion is supported. So don't be stuck with the delusion. Please use the delusion in universal perspective. That is a bodhisattva practice. That's why bodhisattva suffers from their life and also people's life, ordinary, all sentient beings' life. How to save, how to help all sentient beings, okay? Is that clear? And then, that's why next he says, acting on, witness oneself in advance, advent of many things is enlightenment. So already there is, your life, your delusion is already manifested in the advent of many things. That is your way of life. That is a unique way to approach, to know the total picture of the life, okay? Human world. So, religion and enlightenment work together, okay? So that's why Bodhisattva is characterized by working with all sentient beings hand in hand instead of getting into Buddha's position, becoming Buddha. They don't want. So all this walking. But behind the Bodhisattva's delusion, there is a Buddha there, so-called enlightenment. That's why if you read scriptures, always Bodhisattva appears in front and behind the Buddha. Always the Buddha is behind the Bodhisattva, okay? Supporting. So if you read the scriptures, always there is something very quiet, silent, beyond the Bodhisattva's activities in the front. Okay? something quietness. That quietness is, it describes something of emptiness. Okay? It's very interesting. If you sit down quietly, read practicing those scriptures, very naturally, you can see the first the bodhisattva's activities in dynamism in the front of the existence. But behind, obviously there is something there, which is quiet and supportive. Okay? So, next, the great enlightenment about delusion is Siddhuras. That's why you should know the what delusion is. That is called Buddha. Okay? Delusion is not something you should hate or and keep away from. So you should have a great enlightenment about delusion, then you become bodhisattva. Okay? Bodhisattva, and then you can help. You can share. For instance, you always help, try to help, but people don't accept you. Okay? But this is a suffering. But a suffering is okay. Not okay, but there is no other way. So if help is good, you have to consider again and again how to help people, all kind of people. Anyway, whatever happens, accepting or not accepting. Anyway, you should continually consider carefully how to help. See? That is really delusion. Don't you think so? It's delusion. By what you suffer. But this is a bodhisattva. That delusion is really supported by enlightenment. That's why next sentence says, enlightenment is the great delusion about enlightenment is sentient beings. Okay? That is called you, okay? Ordinary people. Ordinary people are persons who really deeply what delusion is. Okay? Then this is called all sentient beings. All right? There are also those who attain enlightenment on top of enlightenment. So, and there are those who are further deluded in the midst of delusion. That's why what you have to do is you are always acting and helping all sentient beings as the Buddhas. Always acting. But on the other end, you are always acting the bodhisattvas who suffer a lot. So obviously you are doing in the realm of delusion. But on that end, there is a supportive, great supporter there called the Buddha. So who is helping people? Buddha helps in the realm of Buddha. In the saying, when the Buddhas are indeed the Buddhas, there is no need to be self-conscious of being Buddhas. Nevertheless, it is realizing Buddhahood. Buddhas go on realizing. That's why, what is this? How do you know this? How do you feel stable? Okay? Please give me the stability and faith and strength. By practicing this, Karagiri mentions, Buddha mentions, ancestor mentions. Please give me something. No way, I don't know. I don't have anything to give you. So all you have to do is just do it. If you just do it, participate directly in the flow, perpetual flow of energy, at that time, there is no way to know. But there is, it is, you can realize it. So it's penitent. It's your body soaks, in the stream, you know, and then your whole body wet, you know. But we always scoop the water into our bodies, you know. And if you feel thirst, You often scoop the water in the drink, and then you feel good. But next moment, your thirst comes again. So if you really at the quench you're thirsty, you jump into the water. You soak your body and the mind into the river. And then the rivers and your water, the salt through your each pores, you know, just like a bamboo basket, you know. Your body is just like a bamboo basket, do you understand? Lots of pores there. But you don't believe it. If you soak it, and then water soak through this hole, the rest of the immediate hole there. That is a pores, you know? So, that's why he says when the Buddhas are indeed the Buddhas, at that time you become Buddhas, okay? The great enlightenment about devotion is all sentient beings, okay? That is you. Great enlightenment about devotion is Buddha. Great delusion about enlightenment is sentient being, because how to save all sentient beings, how to guide deluded, stubborn people to Buddha's way, it's very hard, you know. It's really tired. But this is, anyway, there is no other way, so you have to continue to do it. That is a great delusion about enlightenment, okay? Enlightenment. This is called sentient being. This is called you. And then at that time, if you do it, the Buddha, that is called Buddha, becomes Buddha, okay? But that, how do we know? Who prove this? There is no need to be self-conscious of being Buddha, no. Because just perpetual flows of energies. You just be there. Just like a being present in a jet airplane, I always mention, just be there. Nevertheless, it is realizing Buddhahood, Buddhas go on realizing means make that way of practice mature, makes your life mature, natural, before you know it. Mature. Okay? This is called shigyo, practice. He translated cultivating practice. Practice is constant cultivating. There is no top, no end. Constant cultivating. Okay? Next, in seeing how do we do this, next, he says, if that practice is very hard, seems to be very hard, but he mentions there is a way. He says, in seeing forms with a whole body, mind, hearing sound with whole body, mind, though one intimately understands it isn't like reflecting images in a mirror. It is not like water and the moon. When you witness one side is obscure. Okay? So, all you have to do is, anyway, you should throw away whole body and mind into your object. At that time, your body is reflected in the realm of your object. And interconnected, interpenetrating each other at a super speed, just like a moons and water, but never disturb, just creating the world. So called how beautiful it is. Okay? You feel this one simultaneously. That's why it says, it isn't like a reflecting image in the mirror. It is not like a water and the moon. Because if you see the water and the moon, you separate. If you attain enlightenment, all sentient beings are reflected in your whole body and mind. And then you say, I am universe. That's ridiculous. And then when you flow, and the way you walk, and the little far from the earth, and the 3 feet, and the 5 feet, and walking, and then you said, I am sane. The whole universe helps my life, and free from. That is not real enlightenment. That's ridiculous. That is called prejudice. Okay? So, that's why he says, anyway, it is not like reflecting images in the mirror. If you believe religion is to experience such a miracle, okay, flying in the skies, that is just like a relationship between the mirror and water, the moon, or water and the moon. That's it. But real enlightenment is not like that. So that's why he says it isn't like a reflecting images in the mirror. It is not like water and the moon. When you witness one side is obscure. So what is the real enlightenment? What is the real activity of human being? At that time, when the moon is reflected in the water, whole water becomes moon. That's it. Whole universe. So, you cannot see the moon. Because moon penetrated and disappears and melted away into your body and mind. Well, it is. You can experience that the way you climb the rock mountains, and then you have a consciousness, and always using a consciousness, but the more you really devote yourself into the rock mountains, because no choice to escape. So it requires your enormous tense, enormous attention into it. And that time, mind penetrates your body and mind, finally melt it away. So where is it? Well, what is this? What are they? They are just bodies. There is no rock. Rock penetrated your bodies, just your bodies there. But your body goes through the rough procedures using a boot, using a rope, etc. But your body doesn't confuse because mind is there, rocks there, but all are penetrated and melted away. So whole body is rock. Whole body is rock mountain. Then, how do we know? Just crime. Activity of crime. Perpetual flow of activity called climbing from moment to moment. That's it. Buddha's teaching is often mentioned about this one, about world, about human being from that point of view. Okay? That's why a little difficult. That's why the Dogen Zenji bring up first. You should see the world in terms of Buddha's eye. Okay? What time now?
1 or 2.
Let me know.
Yeah, well, we have about 15-20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is also last sentence, when you witness one side is obscure. This is a key, crucial point of Buddhist practice, okay? If you explain this one, then teaching of egolessness, connection, interpenetration, interdependent coordination, something, teaching coming up. But one side, when you witness one side, the other side is obscure, means whole world are penetrated to you. At that time, your life becomes very secure, very secure. Stand up and walk. Gassho become gassho. Gassho settle in gassho. Okay, exactly. Because whole world gassho. whole world is walking. That's why Bogen didn't mention the mountain walks. Okay? But interestingly, it cannot believe it. But from this point of view, mountain walks. Okay? Now, how do you know? You just walk. Then, whole mountain walks. This is a sport. Same applies to the sports and everything. Without this one, you cannot taste the profundity of sports, profundity of arts, profundity of physics. No. So, this is a key point. And then the rest of things are explaining about this, okay, in a concrete way. So, I don't have enough time. So, please remember the last sentence of this chapter is a conclusion. Okay? What is the point? Or what is the advantage of practice? The Thai Cheshmong asked me a couple of days ago, what is the advantage of practice for human beings? That is to turn earth into the goal. Okay? It means even whatever happens in the world, fighting, killing each other, but all we have to do is from the beginning to end, even the one person, let's turn the earth into the goal. Okay? That is what you can do it. If you do it, that is called way to turn out of Vijnana into Tathagatagarbha. That is called world become Buddha. That is actual practice to build up Buddha's world. Okay? But most people understand the world in the light of the world of conceptualization. That's why when you see the world miserable, then you say, terrible, no choice to build up a peace. But that is still, you are playing with world of conceptualization. Just a game. No. World is not a game. World is very close to you and helping and also strict. You have to do it. Otherwise, you die. You are suffocated. So, no way. If you don't do it, anything like the Buddha's suggestions, ancestral suggestions like this, no way to build up peaceful world. So, remember, this is a key point. Okay? But if you teach this one philosophically, that is called egolessness. Okay? Egolessness, interdependent co-origination. Lots of teaching coming up. But point is, regardless of whether you understand egolessness or not, there is a unique way to practice for everyone. Everyone can do it. Okay? Okay, do you have a question? I'm sorry, I didn't finish.
Could you go back to just this last point, when you witness one side, the other side of the sphere? I didn't understand this.
First, there is, I recommended the book, Beyond the Boredom and Anxiety. In this book, I think he mentions about the expert of mountaineers and the rock climbers, and it's amazing. They often mentions about the oneness with the rock mountains and his body, his mind. But he or she doesn't feel any tiredness and consciousness, just the flow of experience, that's it. That is. What do you mean? Just the flow of experience, just the flow of activity when you climb the mountain, what is it? Just the flow of activities, go to climb the mountain. And that time, where are they? What are they? Right in the middle of perpetual flow of activities. There is a rock mountains, trees, your consciousness, feeling, past, present, future, all things come together. And then, this is temporary called perpetual flow of activity called climbing the mountain. Without all sentient beings, you can't climb. That's why one side is manifested and the other side is obscured. Means the other side means rest of the existence. Okay? Whole world comes into you. That's what it means. Right? That is what? Just a practice. Just a practice. Total manifestation of perpetual flow of activity. And then if you explain philosophically, etymologically speaking, that is Buddhist psychology, Buddhist philosophy. And that makes you confused. In a sense. But it helps.
When one side is obscure, that's when all things are sentient beings.
Yes.
When no side is obscure, that's when all things are Buddha.
Yeah. Behind. Anyway, in other words, all sentient beings are behind you. Okay? Always supporting. We are always going in front, okay? But we have a back. But we don't see the back, you know. We always see the front, what's going with it. But we always ignore the back. The back is huge, okay? So the other sentient beings are of obscure means with a back, behind you, in other words, behind you, and then supporting. Even though you don't like crying, go ahead. In many ways. Mm-hmm. That's spiritual teacher. If you become a spiritual teacher, you must be like that. You know, you cannot be a front. If you become a front person, you become a person in front, it's troublemaker. So if you become a spiritual teacher, you must be always the person behind. That is really helpful.